Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I can tell you this, and a lot of people don't like when I say it, but he was a young man of 26 or 27 when he took over from his father, when his father died. He's dealing with obviously very tough people, in particular the generals and others. And at a very young age, he was able to assume power. A lot of people, I'm sure, tried to take that power away, whether it was his uncle or anybody else. And he was able to do it. So obviously, he's a pretty smart cookie. I don't understand it, and I don't think that the president appreciates the fact that when he says things like that, it helps the credibility and the prestige of this really outrageous strongman. You know, the largest gulag left on Earth is in North Korea, and we all know about their human rights abuses and others.
A dental implant is less painful than talk radio these days. Remember the movie 12 Years a Slave? How about 12 Segments a Slave, the life story of a talk show host who worked to elect a nationalist and got a fill-in-the-blank? I could say welcome to the show, but I don't know how to welcome you to this show. Would you buy a used wall from this administration? Or shall we blame Paul Lyon, Speaker of the House, for the debacle called the Republicrats that are still running things? I mean, every day you wake up, it's the same story. I shouldn't be shocked. Of all people on earth, I as a cynic shouldn't be shocked by what happened and what we're seeing is happening. Since when I first coined the phrase Republicrats or Demokins, and when I said that when both parties are agreeing with each other, you can be sure of one thing, which is the people are getting screwed. What's really changed? What has really changed? Nothing. So, if you think that I'm anguished or depressed, I would say anguished closer to the truth. I'm not depressed over this. It's not personal to me. I'm very anguished by what I am seeing. And there's enough blame to go around. And it gets even worse. It gets even worse when we realize that a lot of what was said during the campaign about Donald Trump turns out to be true. And I'm talking about, what's his name, Cruz. Remember what Cruz said about Trump's liberal origins and liberal orientation in New York? Well, okay, let's say he was a liberal when he was younger and he realized that there was something to be said for conservatism. But then we wake up today and we read that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has business dealings with George Soros. It makes you almost want to bite your tongue off. Peter Hassan, Daily Caller, senior White House advisor Jared Kushner didn't include his ownership in a real estate finance company that makes him business partners with George Soros when filing financial disclosures. The Wall Street Journal reported today. This is news, brand new news. Kushner also failed to disclose loans totaling $1 billion from more than 20 lenders, the Wall Street Journal reported. Soros provided Cadre, the company owned by Trump's senior advisor, with a $250 million line of credit. This confirms Business Insider's reporting in 2016 that an unnamed wealthy New York-based family opened up a $250 million line of credit to Cadre. Soros lives in New York. The Kushners, or the Kushner, who was married to Trump's daughter Ivanka, wasn't open about his business dealings with Soros. A left-wing billionaire who funds activists fiercely opposed to the president's agenda is unlikely to go over well with Trump's base. Kushner's ownership stake in real estate startup Cadre makes him business partners with Soros, Peter Thiel, and other billionaires, as well as Goldman Sachs. Now, none of this is illegal, you understand, nor is it immoral, but it may be fattening. It may be fattening because it's triggering such anxiety in this conservative base that their cortisol levels are going through the roof and they're eating junk food. So it may not be illegal and moral, but it certainly is fattening. The new spending bill funds Planned Parenthood. No kidding. The new spending bill funds sanctuary cities. No kidding. The new spending bill funds refugee resettlement. No kidding. The new spending bill funds a Puerto Rican bailout. You hear this? The deadbeats in Puerto Rico? The deadbeats are going to get bailed out? Without any money, not a dime for Trump's proposed border wall. There's not a single agenda item in there, I think, other than rebuilding the military, which is a good thing, that was promised during the campaign. I don't know what to say to you other than, what can I say to you? You can blame me if you want. You can make me the goat. I don't really care. But how much longer are we going to be able to put up with this? Is it one and done? Or is it less than one and done? I don't know. I don't really know. Are things really better under Trump? Or do we think they're better under Trump? Or can I still say, well, let's imagine what would have happened if she had won. Could things be worse under her? I think so. But then let's analyze that statement. How much worse could it be if she had won? If there was no border wall and no cutting of funding to sanctuary cities and increased funding for Planned Parenthood and new refugees coming in from God knows what hellhole on earth, tell me how much worse it could have been under Hillary. At least if she had won, we'd be unified against her. Right now, there's no unification whatsoever. Would you buy a used wall from this administration? Can we continue to blame rhinos or Paul Lyon for all of these things? I sent a hostile email this morning to a highly placed Trump functionary. I don't know how else to put it. I'm talking high up on the food chain, who had sent me a letter of apology last week. When I read that the president went on an unknown individual's podcast on Sirius XM, I believe, a podcast which has an audience of 300 people. And I said to him, how could you put the president on a podcast and insult me and my audience by refusing to appear? This is now at a critical moment. No answer. They have written you off. Attention, Eddie. Attention, Edith. Attention, deplorables. You no longer exist. You no longer exist. So therefore, the only thing I can do today for you is, I think I'll do some other things for you. I think what I'm going to do is read you some of the articles that I put up on michaelsavage.com. I will, I guess, proudly show you the signed cover of Trump's war that I received yesterday in the mail from the president. I guess it's a collector's item of some sort. In some way, it will be a collector's item one day to have the president's signature on your own book cover. I guess it's, he said, hang in there, we'll win. I don't know when. I guess after he shuts the government down next year. I was thinking about that. He says, let's shut her down in September. If you can do it then, why don't you do it now? Anyway, so I'm on michaelsavage.com. It says, 25 arrested in Portland May Day violence after protesters hurled bottles and Molotov cocktails at police. Good for them. They'll be out of jail tomorrow as heroes. Democrats upset over repeal of Michelle Obama's school lunch rules. That's absurd. She never followed those school lunch rules. Germany, migrant crime spiked in 2016. Tell that to Angela Merkel. International Socialist Day. Here's a list of 100 million communist murders in the past 100 years. And I refuse to take down the picture of the perpetrator who killed the 86-year-old Japanese-American woman after sexually assaulting her. I refuse to take it down because this is my way of fighting fake news. I refuse to let fake news roll me over. It was an invasion, Daily Caller says, how Hungary managed to erase illegal immigration in just a few months. Report, H-1B employers might begin recruiting Americans after Trump order. Okay, whatever that means. Is Breitbart the voice of the Trump White House? I don't know what that means. In Australia, Muslim avoids jail for sex attacks on a beach owing to cultural differences. I see. Okay, they're allowed to rape in their country? Well, okay, let's keep reading the headlines. Michael Savage says, I'm a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? Speaking of a war with Russia, the president's supposed to speak to Vladimir Putin today, which is a good thing. Whatever happened to the big lie that the president ordered the launching of Tomahawk missiles into Syria? Remember 3 weeks ago? Claiming, absurdly claiming, that Assad would gas his own people and that Russia was in collusion with them. Whatever happened to that lie? Nothing. I'm glad to see we're not at war with Russia today. Maybe somebody awakened the president to the fact that it would have been suicidal for Assad to kill his enemies with gas when he was winning the civil war. Ah, there's a coup. There's no question there's been a coup. I want to go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com because there's a comment section in there. And some of the comments are good. I won't bother with all of them. One of them I want to read about is about the story I read on the show yesterday, which apparently out of my millions of listeners, four people heard. And one of them identifies as Weary Traveler, but it's so literally interesting that I'm going to read it to you. He says, you covered some good ground today, meaning yesterday. I really enjoyed the reading you did about that character you created, Siggy, and the story called The Empty Pedestal. And regarding that caller who tells you about how you translated your own feelings into that character, remind me a lot of the story of Caravaggio. Most in particular, the lighting technique he used in his compositions, which was chiaroscuro. Pardon me if my pronunciation is wrong. I can hardly say pizza correctly. I can't even pronounce calamari correctly. It depends upon which Italian restaurant I'm in. But I think it's chiaroscuro. It's what we commonly refer to now as film noir. To make a long story short, Caravaggio was a very deeply conflicted individual. On the one hand, he was very spiritual and a devout Catholic. On the other, he had this tremendously violent temper and was a vicious street dueler. Commissioned by the Vatican, he was put up in the best quarters, surrounded by many of the greats of the Italian Renaissance, yet he'd spend much of his time in the card rooms in the seedy side of Rome. He also spent half his life in prison and was even exiled after murdering a pimp. His final painting was a David and Goliath portrayal. It wasn't uncommon for artists to paint themselves into these scenes as a cameo appearance, sometimes as an onlooker in the background or even the hero. But Caravaggio instead painted his face into the severed head of Goliath, portraying himself as the villain. It was his mea culpa. In reading Caravaggio's biography, the lighting technique he referred to use, chiaroscuro, which translates to light-dark, which is a sharp tonal contrast with a light area surrounded by dark, made sense. I believe it was his way of subconsciously depicting the state of his own soul, a light shrouded in darkness struggling to break through. That applies to many of us, if not all, in some way. Which segues to something else you said today when you mentioned the new title of your God book as God's War. Because you said that God is at war with all of us. Correction, Dr. Savage. It is we who are at war with God. Now, before I take my break, I will conclude by saying this. Listening to talk radio today is more painful than a dental implant. I will not do Democrat-Republican. I will not do Republican-Democrat ever. I'd rather leave the medium than do what I'm hearing. This is an old format that if you still listen to it, I pity you. How can you listen to Democrat, Republican every day of your life for 25 years? How can you do that? I ask myself, is this what I sold my soul out to do? To talk about the two Republican, Democrat parties, rather, day and night when it's all a sham? The whole idea of Democrat, Republican is a sham. There is no difference in the two parties. It's a one-party system. There's your chiaroscuro. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I was reading a report on radio. It reaches over 250 million listeners a week. Country was the top format. News talk was number two. Can you believe this? You know what I mean? Oh, radio's old, radio's dead. Yeah, right, sure. Because the drug-addicted, hair-losing millennials aren't listening to this format? Are you kidding me? Radio reaches over 90% of every demographic. Radio. It's still the number one way that people hear what's going on. News talk is the second most popular, country being the first. And you ask yourself, if radio is who elected Donald Trump, which it is, I know it for a fact, and he won't come on radio, instead he goes on a podcast with a blogger who has 400 listeners, can you tell me who is advising President Trump about the media? It's the people who ran the Bush campaign. The very same Bushies who hated Michael Savage, hated conservatives, hated the idea of borders, language, and culture, are now running this administration. There's nothing more I can say about it. What do you want me to say? Here is a great senator, Mike Lee, senator from Utah. Listen to what he has to say. He's one of the resistors to this insanity in clip 11.
What we've found is that money is being taken from U.S. taxpayers, and it's being funneled to various George Soros-affiliated leftist socialist causes around the world. Now, look, I don't know why it makes any sense at all to take money from taxpayers in Panguitch, Utah, or in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and sending it over to Europe to be used to fund some far-left cause sponsored by George Soros. That makes no sense to me.
Yes, it does. Jared Kushner didn't disclose business dealings with George Soros. Soros gave him $250 million line of credit. Senator Lee, you ought to read some of the news out there, and you'll find the answer to all your questions, and also why there's been no investigation of the world's number one disruptor, George Soros, the man who gave $85 million to the police killing Black Lives Matter. Anything happened to Soros? Now you know why. Now you know why. Now you know the rest of the story.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Sounds so much like America was when I grew up. Doesn't it? I mean, this is the sound of America. What would the sound of America be today, I wonder? If you would like to define it in one song. Somebody who can hardly speak English rubbing their crotch with bling on. I don't know. What would it be? A pornographic burlesque star pretending to be a singer, being invited to the White House. That's going to be the last straw for me. If they have a party at the White House and they invite Beyonce and those goons, that's it. That's it for me. I don't care about breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, after dessert. If I see the same crew of degenerates go into the White House at the party and conservatives locked out, that's it. My next book will be called Trump's Nun War or Trump's Unwar. That'll be it. No borders, no language, no culture. I can't take it anymore. I don't know where to go with this. I mean, look, I know where to go with it. I could just stop doing politics. I can talk about why are there so many insane events on airplanes, which I'm probably going to do right now. Like the latest video going around, the guy with the red shirt in a fight on the airplane coming from, who knows, I don't know where it was going, Japan. And you know, the Japanese are nice, peaceful people now after World War II. They're basically a very subdued, peaceful people. Between that and Disneyland, that was the end of the Japanese Bushido. And now I'm throwing McDonald's and milk. After the World War II defeat, McDonald's, the introduction of McDonald's and dairy, and Disneyland, that was the end of Bushido in Japan. They're peaceful people. And a fight breaks out. They didn't know what to do. Who was this drunk going to L.A.? And he came back for more. It's a bigger question. Why are there so many insane events going on airplanes? Is it the air that's toxic? I myself get claustrophobic the minute I go on a plane. I get the minute I go on, I start gagging. I get seclempt. It's like, just the smells of the other people. I feel like I'm in a barnyard. I am blessed and cursed with a sense of smell that's so critically better than most people. It's a development that occurs in people who are super have super senses. My hearing is very sharp, and my sense of smell is off the charts. My sight is not that great. Thank God I can't see the other people on the airplane that well, or I'd have a panic attack altogether to see another gut hanging over a pair of jogging pants. That's all I need to see is another blubber face sitting next to me. It's horrible, and the clothing, and they stink. Is that what's causing the fights, is that people get on there around people they never wanted to meet in their whole life, even in so-called first class? I love the people who never have been in first class, and they finally get a seat in first class, and they look around, and they say, this can't be true. No one looks any different than in low class, or low, you know, below class. Cattle, potato class, they used to call it in Europe 30 years ago. La classe de pomme. The potato class on one of the ships I went on between Mallorca and, where was it? Balearic Islands. I got a potato class passage. It's no different now. The only first class that's left is on private jets. So on a private jet, you don't actually see people you don't want to see unless you're traveling with people you didn't want to be with to begin with. And then you have to pretend you like them in order to be on their jet. But other than that, there is no first class. No such thing. You have to go through that. But why are there so many freakouts on airplanes? Well, now let's get into the airline food. That's number two. The air, toxic. Airline food. The sense of being in a prison freaks out a lot of people. I think that the reason is that once you get on a plane, you realize you're not an American anymore. You have no freedoms whatsoever. You are absolutely a victim of whatever they want to do to you. So then people who are already marginal, psychologically marginal, shouldn't even be on airplanes. They get crazy. Then you throw some alcohol in them, mixed in with some antidepressants, mixed in with some horrendous airline food or airport food. God knows what they eat in a bar on the way in, the drunks. A hot dog, no probiotics, the gut sending signals to the brain that they're in a state of panic. The brain overloads, and then they get into a screaming fight, and they attack an infant. So if you want to comment on that, well, okay, that's more interesting to me than talking about politics. Why are there so many airline horror, attacks now? What's going on? I hate it. I don't fly for that reason. Like, even to go to L.A., I want to go in my old van, but I hate driving worse than flying. How could you enjoy sitting in a car for 7 hours to Los Angeles? There's nothing to see. I live in San Francisco. Let's say I'm going to drive to L.A. instead of flying. It's like a Hobson's choice. Which is less tormentuous? An hour in the airplane with the cattle people or 6 hours in a car? No matter what car you're in, it doesn't matter. The worst part is like when you pass the slaughterhouses. The only part I like of the ride, which I haven't done in a long time, is the windmills at Altamont, where the Hells Angels killed people at the Rolling Stones concert. For some reason, I like that particular part of the highway. I don't know why. Like the Altamont, you know, when you go past the windmills of Altamont, does anyone know what I'm talking about? I think of the Rolling Stones concert and the pool cues. But then you get, there's nothing next. 2 more hours, zero. Then you get to the stockyards, and you think of the cows. You look over there. You don't want to see them. Even as a kid, when we would drive through the countryside in the Catskill Mountains, I always had a sense of, maybe I'm too sensitive. I would look over at the animals, the poor cows. I always felt bad for cows. It didn't stop me from eating hamburger. I didn't even know a steak came from a cow as a kid. I had no idea meat came from a cow. I didn't know how it worked. Kids don't know very much. All I know is I ate meat 3 times a day and didn't get a heart attack by 12. The worst diet in the history of man. I keep repeating it, and it's not a bad joke. I still don't. It defies all medical logic. If you were to take prisoners who volunteered for a scientific experiment to see how quickly you can induce a heart attack, you would feed them the diet that I grew up on. You give them a cardiotoxic diet of the type I grew up on. And you see how long they would last without a blowout. But it didn't do it to me. That's the funny part. But as I say, so as a kid even, I would see cows up in the country in the Catskill Mountains. I would always say to my parents, just eating grass. They didn't bother anybody. Nothing. All they do is eat. They're like the American voter. Bovine. If the average American white male in the suburbs, if you actually lived around them as I do, you have no idea why the country is in the shape it's in until you live around them, and then you understand why the country is in the shape it's in. Do you have any idea how bovine the average white male is? They don't even have to be fat. They can be fit. Their minds are that of cattle. If they can make their car payment, their house payment, if they can get an erection once a week, and get a haircut every 3 weeks, maybe pay for the life insurance, take the kids out for a burger. The minute the weather gets warm, you could vomit from the air, from the barbecue, the benzoapyrenes being put into the children's gullets. Barbecue, good for you, kids. Eat that stuff. The more crusty, the better, kids. Eat that stuff now. You'll be glad you did when you grow up. You'll be just like Dad. So I don't ask my parents. I would say like a kid, you know, kids are weird. I'd say like, are they dairy cows, Dad? Because if he said dairy cows, somehow my guts didn't wrench. I didn't think that they were going to be killed. So I'm like, yeah, they're dairy cows. Oh, God, I felt better. It's like, okay, Elsie's there. She's just going to, like, eat grass, and they're going to take her milk and make cheese out of it. Then when she gets old, they're going to send her to, like, a cow old age home somewhere in Boca Raton. She'll be taken care of. But she's never going to be, like, slaughtered with, like, a little bullet in the head. But no, son, these are not dairy cows. These are absolute meat cows, and they're slaughtered mercilessly. You really shouldn't see how they cut their throats. No father would say that to a kid. That's like saying, there is no God. When I'm dead, you could throw me in a garbage can. That's the story yesterday. I shocked a lot of people with that story. I'm never reading it again. It was too much, I think, for the average listener. Yeah. I was going to do that. Maybe I should do this one on the band. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I think I'm going to give you a teaser on it right now. Do you know that May 5th is the anniversary, the 8th year of the anniversary that Britain banned me from entry because opinions I expressed on the air? So World Net Daily is going to launch an article tomorrow with a petition entitled Number One Author, Radio Host, Still Banned from UK, Michael Savage Launches Petition Urging Trump to Act. It's 8 years this Friday, May 5th. When I was blacklisted by Prime Minister Gordon Brown's government, which lumped me together with Muslim jihadists, leaders of racist groups, and banned me from entering the country. They never said what I said that might threaten the nation's security. So they put me on a blacklist. So now, with Donald Trump in the White House, we're launching a petition to urge the President and the U.S. State Department to demand that Britain remove my name from the list. It is outrageous that a Western nation would ban a popular American commentator with millions of listeners and several New York Times best-selling books to balance its list, apparently fearing it would be accused of being biased against Muslims, the petition says. Michael Savage has never advocated violence, and his political views are protected by the First Amendment, which is rooted in the civil rights tradition that began with Britain's Magna Carta. Days after the ban was announced by Home Secretary Jackie Smith, Boris Johnson, the mayor of London at the time, attacked Smith for her, quote, utterly demented decision. He asked, what are we, some sort of kindergarten that needs to be protected against these dangerous American radio shows? Savage wonders if Trump is even aware that he is still banned from the UK. In January, the British Parliament debated banning Trump himself from entry shortly before his inauguration as president. A Muslim Labour Party member of Parliament declared Trump's words poisonous, charging they risk inflaming tension between vulnerable communities. Don't you love how all of those who attack are vulnerable communities? Oh, are they smart? You got to hand it to them. All of those who burn, loot, attack, they're vulnerable communities. This is a huge story in this time of attacks of free speech, Savage told WND. Why didn't Bernstein and Woodward lift a finger? Where is the White House Correspondents Association on this? Am I a nun person? Savage's latest book, Trump's Wars, Battle for America, was number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and he is the number one rated host on New York City's powerhouse radio station, WABC. Quote, remember, Ann Coulter was banned by a city, and look at the coverage, he said. Savage is banned by a nation and silence prevails. Anyway, there's more coming tomorrow when the article hits and the petition will be up for you to sign. I'm thinking that if we get 500,000 to a million signatures, which will cost you nothing, we're going to send it to President Trump. And then, oh boy, then we're going to see what happens. I'm going to send it to the president, to Sean Spicer, and all of the president's men, asking if he will get me off the list. And let's see if we have any hope whatsoever of making a dent anywhere on earth. Anyway, celebrating today are Nancy Pelosi. I hear that Charles Schumer went out for an extra knish today on the Lower East Side. He was so elated with the new budget that exceeded that of Obama's stimulus program that he went and bought himself an extra knish. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Great night's sleep. Boy, do we all need that, because it gives you a great day. And I'm having a lot of great days because I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams, which gives you all the support you need and guarantees you get the best night's sleep ever. It comes to you in a box that's so small, you won't believe it holds a mattress. You can put it right into your bedroom. It's that small. And I love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home, risk-free. They'll come pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine and refund you everything, no questions asked. From its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it's no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. Believe me, sleeping on a mattress at home is the only way to try it out. It beats lying on one in a store with bright lights in your eyes with everyone looking at you. So get a Casper in your home and get a great night's sleep every night like I do. Go to Casper.com. Use code SAVAGE for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, code SAVAGE. You get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, terms and conditions apply. Joe on KSFO, what's on your mind, Joe?
Yeah, I'm trying to comment on the airplane anxiety that I increasingly notice on airplanes. Just recently on a return, you know, across the Pacific, I mean, there's one passenger, he's just staring at me, like, for 5 hours. And that kind of gets on your nerves after 5 hours.
Like a gaper? He was just a gape job? He just kept staring for no reason?
Yeah, no reason. He's sitting in a pair of seats with nobody adjacent to him. He should have just been nodding off. But
where were you relative to the starer?
I was one row back and across the aisle.
So he was turning his head to look at you?
Yeah, that was almost impossible because he'd have to turn his head like about 130.
What did he find about you? Was it something attractive or obnoxious, do you think?
Probably just obnoxious. I was probably reading like a language dictionary, a foreign language dictionary the whole time.
Oh, so you were like a spy to him.
Oh, that's...
You see, in other words, your intelligence level was so much higher than his. He was probably sure you were a spy.
Well, that leads into another aspect of this, because people are increasingly non-communicative. You know, they just kind of grunt and make gravelly sounds on planes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, I think you were saying that it's like being on a bus was in the 50s.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, right.
Yeah. In other words, the same people that used to go on a bus are now in airplanes, like the short line bus. I'm going to go into I remember when, but here's what I remember when. I remember when I was poor and a college student, I went to Miami from New York on a bus. I don't know what the bus service was. And we stopped in Atlanta for Southern Fried Chicken. Like, in the middle of the night, they made you get out. They locked the doors. You had to buy the chicken. The passengers threw the bones in the aisle after they ate the chicken and the skin. And the boxes were thrown in the aisle. That's the next stage of airline flying, is they're going to be discarding, like, the bones, the neck, the beaks are going to... They're going to be throwing beaks and necks into the aisle.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Bombay. All right, whatever. Okay, I'm not in the mood. He's gone. Gone with the wind. But anyway, here we are. We're living in a new world. You know, when you're younger, airlines were exciting. Some of us used to go to, what was it called? Idlewild Field. Before it was called JFK Airport, it was Idlewild Field. And when you were poor and you couldn't even fly, you had no money to go anywhere, it was like an elite form of travel. We'd go to airports just to see the new terminals and watch people board planes and make believe we're... I knew a jerk. His name was Steve. What was his last name? He became a psychiatrist. I don't know if he's still alive. He actually brought an attaché case to make believe he was boarding a plane. He was dirt poor from Brooklyn. The rest of us would go to look at the people getting on planes. They were like a different class of people. But this guy had to put on, you know, like he was going to get on a plane. He was going on a trip. I didn't even know what an attaché case was. I didn't know what an attaché was, let alone a case. But anyway, today it's different. It's like the short line in the sky. So it's not knocking the other. Look, life is good. People are wonderful, and business is great. Remember those bumper stickers from the 70s, those obnoxious bumper stickers? The only things left are Obama bumper stickers that are still left on cars here in the area where I live. Some idiots still have Obama 08 on their car to show as like a badge of... I don't see any Hillary bumper stickers. I never see a Make America Great bumper sticker again. Anywhere. Nothing. Make America Great. That's a collector's item. That's the campaign. Remember that? It was 1841 when Alexander Hamilton ran a Make America Great campaign. It got him into the office, and no one knows what happened afterwards. That would be a collector's item, all of the campaign memorabilia that people collect. Oh, what people collect, everything imaginable. But I really wanted to talk about the airline, not horror stories. Why there's so many insane outbreaks on airplanes today? Because there's more and more violence, number one. There was no violence years ago, none. Never did you see passengers brawling. Never did you see stewardesses or steward-eye, like in San Francisco. The American crews out of San Francisco are known to be the meanest in the world. For some reason, nobody knows why, they're the meanest crew in the crews in the world. There are exceptions. Mean, you don't know. Mean as a rattlesnake on an August day. The American crews out of this Bay Area. An attitude of, I don't understand it. They treat people so badly. If you ask for a chiclet, you could wind up strapped to your chair. So, I don't know if you want to talk about that. I could talk about probiotics if you want. There's a whole thing on that that many people don't know about. You've heard that antibiotics are bad for you, right? But you don't know what that is or why. To me, it's more interesting than the border wall. I'm kind of used to the invasion by now. It'd be depressing not to have a country that was invaded from Mexico, wouldn't it? I wouldn't know how to live in America if there was no invasion. I've gotten used to the sombreros and the pointy boots. I mean, there's no wall. Would you buy a used wall from this man is going to be the next watchword. No wall. No money for the wall. Fine print in the bipartisan budget bill includes several paragraphs designed to prevent Trump's deputies from building a border wall with the reserve cash routinely stored. They cut out, Schumer and Pelosi actually cut out money that was put into a little slush fund that could have started the wall. They can't even buy a brick. Including $187 million in cash seized from drug smugglers and other criminals. They stole it. They took it away. The TFF participating agencies that would have gotten the money even by like a bag of mortar. Let's say Trump wanted to buy a bag of mortar and 10 bricks to build like a symbolic wall somewhere down there. He doesn't even have the money to do that unless we donated it. So there's no brick and no wall. Don't worry, we'll make the wall great again. However, they're going to replace the fence. They're going to replace approximately 40 miles of existing primary pedestrian and vehicle border fencing. Can I ask a simple question? How is that working out thus far? The bill offers $500 million for various construction programs, including $341 million to replace 40 miles of existing primary pedestrian and vehicle border fencing. Existing. How's that been working out, Mr. Trump? Has that stopped one from coming over the border? No. But apparently there's some construction money to rebuild the ped and vehicle border fencing. and I'd like to know who the contractors are who are going to get the money to rebuild those. Could you say congresswomen's husband or senator's husbands in the construction business in order to have gotten the bill passed, you think? All backroom deals. Nancy Pelosi said, in defeat for President Trump, the bill does not fund the immoral and unwise border wall or create a cruel new deportation force. The bill included key victories for Democratic priorities. Isn't that wonderful that we elected Trump? They control the Senate and the House, and Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer won. Isn't that great? That's why I'm going to talk about probiotics. Because most people don't know about it. Unless you're younger, you know about these things. And the thing is this. There's a huge epidemic of depression that we know. But is depression related to the little organisms, not orgasms, the little organisms that live in your gut? Remember, organism is different than an orgasm. And there's a lot of science now that shows that the organisms that live in your gut may control your mental health to a great extent. And they can produce, if you get the wrong microscopic organisms, you can have high stress, anxiety, depression, because they communicate with the brain and produce neurochemicals like dopamine and serotonin, and they help manufacture certain vitamins that keep the brain healthy. So the microbes in your gut actually send messages to your brain via the vagus nerve. And this nerve extends from the brainstem all the way to the abdomen. It is apparently missing in Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer. Apparently, the vagus nerve was not part of their anatomy. They have no feedback whatsoever. But I want to talk about these issues of leaky guts, leaky gut syndrome, systemic inflammation, which may underline the development of Alzheimer's, MS disease, Parkinson's, even autism. Because the fact of the matter is our gut bacteria do affect our mood. Many people don't know that. So we all know this, is that if you take antibiotics, you're often killing the, quote, good bacteria. The average person knows that when you take antibiotics, you're killing the good bacteria. That we know. And so you're supposed to take probiotics while you're taking antibiotics. Most doctors today will prescribe that for people. The smart doctors tell you if you're on antibiotics, make sure you're taking probiotics as well. I just came through a course of antibiotics. They ripped me to shreds. I threw them in the toilet. I told the dentist, I'm never using that poison again. See, here's the problem. Like, the dose that he gave me is designed for the average American who's a fat slob who uses drugs day and night. But if you're a fit person as I am, and you're not overweight as I'm not, and you've kept taking care of yourself without drugs as I have, if I'm going to take 1,500 milligrams of this poison, I'm killing myself. But the doctors don't seem to know that there's a difference between the, quote, fat slob American, who the drugs are designed for on average, and people who are fit who should never take that high dose. But the doctors don't tailor these doses for you. So it leaves you devastated. So you take probiotics. You also eat bad. You don't understand this, that eating like bad food is actually good for you. When I say bad food, I don't mean like fatty foods that, like burgers and fries. Everyone knows it's poison that will occlude your arteries. The least educated person on earth has read the studies that support that. I would say the least educated person understands there's a relationship between diet and health. Only obscure morons don't understand that relationship anymore. I've seen it my whole life. Oh, yeah, food has nothing to do with health. It goes all the way back to Jim Fix, the runner from the 70s, who said diet has nothing to do with heart disease. Only exercise does. Unfortunately for him, he dropped dead of a heart attack running on a road in the summer in Vermont in 102-degree heat. He was a big eater of fatty foods. So, oh, yeah, there's a relationship. And I wrote for Runner's Magazine in those days. Did you know that? A little thing. I wrote a few articles. Doesn't make me great, but I do have a history in this field. So there's a direct relationship between what we eat and who we are. We all know that. At least educated people know that. So I can talk about what to do if you're on antibiotics. When it's very simple. Get probiotics. Say, well, I don't know what those are. Well, you could buy those pills in a good health store. What they ask the guy behind the counter, usually the guy with the tattoos, who's just come out of rehab. They all work in the health food store. For some reason, they attract people who are in recovery. Okay, that's fine. I mean, you got to come back to society some way. Gives me the creeps, though. Like, I'm going in a health food store. The guy's got tattoos on his hands and neck. And if something like doesn't match, it should be someone like in a daisy dress or something, smiling at me. But all right, look, everyone's got to make a living. You got to come back and do something. You buy probiotics, that's good. But you also eat sauerkraut. Did you know that sauerkraut's a probiotic? Kimchi, talking about Kim Jong-un, very good probiotic. You can buy pretty healthy kimchi now in the markets. There are people making good stuff. So you say, I want kimchi without sugar. You can't find it because the sugar ferments the cabbage. So forget about that. Depends about what kind of sugar they're using. Or you could, you know, just buy good sauerkraut. There's good sauerkrauts now in the market. The krauts were way ahead of their time with the sauerkraut. The only ones that didn't know about it are guys like on... But, so the thing is, yeah. You saw I cut that joke off pretty quick because I was going somewhere I shouldn't have gone. But nevertheless, sauerkraut is healthful if you get the right sauerkraut that's salt-free or low salt. The krauts were right. I mean, you know, the kraut was the good part. That helped you when you with the eating the kibbleweiser, whatever it is, the kraut, the different braut, the brautmeisters. This thing, and the big sausages, so phallic. I never ate those things. I was like a panic attack when someone gave me one of those. I don't know what it was. It's like, no, no, thank you. Please, family around now. Sauerkraut, kimchi is good. There are other ways. Like, you know that I eat a lot of foods, like Chinese food a lot. What you don't know is if the food is prepared in a dirty restaurant, it could be healthy for you. You know, this is it's a paradox, and it's ironic that my father was right about that, too. It was during the polio epidemic of the 1950s, you see, when nobody even knew what caused polio, and everyone was in a panic. They would keep kids out of swimming pools. It was really a terrible time in the early 50s. Polio was a horrendous disease. It still is. I mean, but the picture of children in iron lungs for the rest of their lives was enough to freak you out. So people were in a panic. So my father would take me by the hand and walk me through the Lower East Side of Manhattan where his store was. And I'd say, why are you walking me in this filthy street where your store is? Of course, it was an obvious question and with an obvious answer. A, because we're poor and my store is here in a poor neighborhood. That's how we make a living. But two, he actually would say to me, you don't understand, Michael. He said, by exposing you to dirt, I'm exposing you to germs. By exposing you to germs, your body is going to build up a natural resistance to the germs. I didn't quite understand it, but boy, was he right. If you kept your kid away from germs, they didn't develop natural immunity to things. So there's something to be said for eating bad Chinese food in San Francisco. I mean, when you think about it, the sewer shrimp that they throw in, the scraps of meat, the little pieces of pork, the leftover chicken, it all adds up to triggering an immune response in you. It could be actually healthful. And then you throw on the hot sauce from the Hunan restaurant, which kills anything that's bad for you. And the next thing you know, you live an extra 40 years. At least I think so. I'll be back in a minute to discuss something else.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I guess people are tuning out of talk radio. We motivated you to vote for Trump. You got screwed again, and you've turned off talk radio. I truly believe that someone's going to figure out what's going on very soon. The $1 trillion spending deal, which gives us almost nothing that we ask for, except increased defense spending, which is very interesting when you think about it. The military-industrial complex got what it wanted. And the people got nothing. We got the short straw. We got the shortest straw. Well, I mean, tell me what else we got in the spending bill. Nothing. Tell me zero. That's why I'm talking about antibiotics and probiotics. You know, I mean, I don't even want to take calls on that or airplane horror stories. Rasmussen poll, Trump's approval rating slips to 47%, and Rasmussen is pretty good. With 48% a month early, and that's statistically insignificant. Fox News puts him at 45%. Big deal. That's not a big deal. Among Republicans, 54% strongly approve of Trump, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to do this. You think I'm interested in this garbage? I am not. I don't know what I want to do. I could read old stories to you from my youth. Maybe that would be better. Stewing Yates, two filmmakers with tremendous credentials on the top levels of Hollywood have been doing a documentary on me. And we've only got, you know, 30 minutes of film cut down to 3 minutes. And I'm not going to share it with you. But in one of the opening scenes, there's a B-roll of me. I'm talking on an A-roll. In a B-roll, I do a flashback to, like, black and white pictures. And one of the black and white pictures is of me in junior high school, sitting in the front row like a little kid in between the principal and the math teacher. He was tall. He looked like Abe Lincoln. The math teacher, like, I remember he had bad breath. That's all I remember. And he's a nice guy, and he had a bad hal on him. I think it's why I didn't do well in math at that time, because I would ask him for help. He'd come over. He was very nice. But he'd lean over. I'd get a hal on the right side. I have a migraine to this day. You can't say to a teacher, your breath is bad, please back up. It's an automatic failure. That's like saying communism is no good today. But there he is, and all of the other short kids are in the front row. And they were always like kids, even in the ninth grade, they were like the size of Donald Trump already. You know the kind of kids, like at 13, they were shaving? They like could man a tank if they had to in Israel? How did that happen? They're like, in the same classroom, there were like little kids that were like pre-adolescent. Then they were like boys that were like Donald Trump in size. If you gave them a main battle tank on the Golan Heights and gave them 3 minutes of training, they could run it in the same classroom. Look at the girls in the back outfits. They're like a Stalin's housewife on vacation. It's like a Stalin. All these girls look like Stalin's daughter. None of them were. I just never liked any of the girls in that class. I don't understand. Where are they today? I'm not knocking. I'm looking at them. I never fell in love with any of those girls in the ninth grade. You could see why. Would you fall in love with Stalin's housekeeper? What are they feeding these kids? How did girls get more beautiful today? Or is it just that they... I don't know. Are they?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-728. Savage.
Absolutely, a dental implant would be less painful than the news today, I got to tell you. But here's a positive note. Trump and Putin vow to take on Syria and North Korea together. Well, that's a big change from what the president did 2 weeks ago. It almost caused World War III. During the campaign, President Trump came on my show, and I asked him pointedly, would you speak with President Putin? He said, yes, I'd speak with him even before I'm inaugurated. Remember that? And everything was going along well. Until someone whispered in his ear and said that, Assad and Putin gassed their own people. The next thing, in the middle of a Chinese dinner with the president of China present, he launched Tomahawk missiles at an airfield in Syria without any proof whatsoever that the Syrians would insanely gas their own people with collusion by Russia. And the vermin in the media, the fake newsmen, all day long, all you read was they gassed their own people. Whatever happened to that fake news story? Where's Woodward and Bernstein now that we don't need them, giving themselves another prize? Trump and Putin vow to take on Syria and North Korea together. So they spoke today, and they said that they're going to work together to avoid the violence. They're going to send a representative to an ongoing peace talk in Kazakhstan. And then they're going to get together on North Korea and how the two countries can help defuse the situation. You know what? I'm glad they're talking. Thank God the maniacs like McCain had some tape put on their stupid mouths. Or that idiot, that one down there, I don't know his name, Lindsey Graham. Another one looking for war with Russia. But you know why they've quieted down, Lindsey Graham and McCain? Because of the great increase in defense spending. They did what they're supposed to do. They're fronts for the defense industry. They got huge increases in defense spending. So now McCain and Lindsey Graham are no longer beating the war drums. They'll go on to something else. Despite having previously warned against U.S. intervention in Syria, that's right, that's what he said for months, no intervention in Syria, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he launches strikes against the Syrian government in early April after he accused the regime of using chemical weapons on civilians. And then Trump, who spent months touting the prospect of warmer ties with Putin, declared after the strikes that the relationship between the U.S. and Russia, quote, was at an all-time low. That happened overnight. Then along comes this idiot, Nikki Haley, where they got this jerk from, I'll never understand, who also attacked Moscow. Where's Nikki Haley today? That dummy. So now we're friends with Russia again. We're friends with Russia, then we're enemies of Russia. Then we're friends with Russia, then we're enemy of Russia, now we're a friend of Russia. Trump and Putin spoke one day before a new round of Russian-led talks and the Syria crisis begins in Kazakhstan. Well, that's good news. So I hope that our enemies of today become our allies of tomorrow. That's what I would say. If I was to write a speech for the president, maybe he could say something we might remember that's positive. Maybe once he could say something that we'd remember, such as, I hope that our enemies of today will become our allies of tomorrow. Tomorrow, not tomorrow. Tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I'm not talking about one of the girls in my seventh grade class. Tomorrow. I hope our enemies of today will become our allies of tomorrow. How he could say he'd be that Kim Jong-un is a pretty smart cookie? Unbelievable to me. First of all, I got to tell you, Trump saying Kim Jong-un is a smart, pretty smart cookie, that has to be the craziest soundbite of my life. Pretty smart cookie? Okay. First of all, if you wanted to make a big deal out of it, you could say it's racist, which it isn't. Fortune cookie, Asian. Okay, you see what I'm saying? No one saw that. I mean, if you want to be a real liberal moron, you say, oh, he said Kim Jong-un is a pretty smart cookie. That shows that there's racism because he's using a stereotype about an Asian with a fortune cookie. I know you're laughing. This is how the left thinks. But that's not my point. My point is, how could he say he's a smart cookie? I never heard anything like this in my life. Maybe the president needs probiotics from all the meatloaf because the cows are all full of antibiotics. Maybe I could come in as an advisor on nutrition into Mar-a-Lago and give him, like, you know, a couple of caps of probiotics, or I could tell him to eat sauerkraut and kimchi once in a while to balance out the antibiotics that are, like, raging in the gut. If only I could do that. I'd like to bring, like, kimchi to the White House. Hi there. Nobody. You never eat. Look, I don't eat listener food. Why would a president? I would never eat listener food. That's the first thing rule I learned in radio the first week. Never eat listener food. Dear Mike, we love you. Billy and I baked this cake just for you. Yeah, right. Then as the years went on and I was on KSO, they'd send me like bottles of wine that they supposedly put together for me right in the gutter. It's like the French Revolution. Break the neck and spill it in the gutter. You don't know what the people were putting in it with a needle. Missing couple found dead after disappearing in Belize. Who would go to Belize? You got to be stupid. You're going to go to Belize and expect to come back alive? Why would anyone go to these places without eight bodyguards? And by the way, why not just go to Miami if you want to burn your body up and get skin cancer? And at least you got an American dollar. Why would you go to Belize? What in the world are you going to find there that you can't find in Florida? Who goes to these places? Oh, the beaches are better. Oh, this is better. I never heard anything like it. Everyone's looking for the better beach. Missing couple found dead after disappearing in Belize. Well, there's no mystery what happened. Group of thugs killed them, and then that's all. Took what they had and killed them. You know, life is cheap down there. It's about as cheap as it is in West Los Angeles. There's nothing in the news. Apple shares, smash record. Healthcare wreck again. There's actually no news. At all. Immigration group pulls Trump endorsement due to betrayal on promises. That's it. That's a news story. Air Force preps second missile test off California. Kim's nuke Navy prepping submissiles capable of hitting USA. Great. What if that actually happened? Like everyone like on the East Coast listening to they can't hit me. I don't care. You know, that's how it is. That's how regional we become. Like, oh, I don't really care about Kim's and his nuke. So take out like a little city in San Francisco, New York. You know, knock out a little. It doesn't bother me. I live in New York. It's not going to affect. Can't reach us. It's all anyone thinks about. No one thinks nationally anymore. Like, will it affect me? That's all anyone thinks about. Those North Korean missiles off a submarine cannot reach me, so I don't care. Does anyone care about anything? The election's over. It's summertime and the living is easy. Hot like fire out here. A nightmare. A nightmare in the Bay Area. I didn't move here for this weather. I hate it. If I wanted weather like this, I would have moved to Mexico. It's because we get the pressure comes in and brings the desert air in. It's like 4 days in a row that his fog is supposed to come back, and it hasn't. It's disgusting. I love the people who don't know the Bay Area, who move here, and they think it's supposed to be hot because it's California. All the goofballs who move from the Midwest, who don't know anything. Man high on pot crashed into Santa Rosa pet store. Really? Driving while stoned? That's a crime in the Bay Area? You must be kidding. It's not a crime to be stoned and run the government in California. Why should it be a crime to be stoned and crash a car into a pet store? Two people shot while sitting in car in San Francisco. Man dies in solo bicycle crash in Petaluma. Terrible. Terrible. This bicycle thing's starting to get to me. The whole bicycle thing. Maybe I should give up bicycling. Nah, I'm not going to give it up. I like bicycling. It's the one thing I like. You give up everything you like, you may as well die. 855. What are you going to call me about? Antibiotics? No, I don't want to talk about them. All right, we could take an antibiotic caller. I am so craving bad Chinese food. Since I've been sick, I haven't been over the bridge to eat some bad Chinese food. Maybe it's why I don't feel good. Trump, no, nothing. Nobody has anything to say about it. Everyone's relaxed. The economy is good. Stocks are booming. We're at peace. There's no war. People are free to do what they want. So why would anyone pay attention to politics? Trump's been neutralized and neutered. They're relaxing now. They all love him again. They realize they can't do anything. So nobody's frightened anymore. There's going to be no wall. Sanctuary cities are going to remain such, and illegals are going to pour into them. Not a dime is going to be cut off San Francisco. Nothing. So everyone's relaxed. There's no one to hate anymore. The left is relaxed. They have no one to be angry at except themselves, which is why they riot. Everyone's stoned on marijuana or alcohol in the country, or Prozac or something like it. Do you ever get the feeling you're the only one who's not on illegal or legal drugs? Everyone is either on alcohol or an antidepressant, anti-anxiety pill, or all three, and marijuana. And antibiotic-riddled food. You wonder why they don't know what's going on. Rice-a-roni, ding-ding. Just ride the cable car, go to Fisherman's Wharf, buy a trinket, get a walk-away cocktail. Ugh, I violated my diet because I'm feeling better since the dental surgery. I went to a Japanese restaurant. It was like another debate last night where to go. I'm so fed up with where to go every night. There's no way to eat here. I said, let's just go to the Japanese. She said, but you hate it. I said, but you love it. She says, I'm not in the mood for it tonight. I said, you like it. She says, no, I don't want it tonight. I said, but I want it. She said, why do you want it if you normally hate it? I said, because you like it. I figure you'd like it. So we go to the Japanese restaurant, and Robert's laughing because he's newly married. I mean, that's how these discussions go, right? You normally like it, but you don't want to go, so I want to go. But why do you want to go? Because you would like it. But I wouldn't like it because I don't like it. But you like it, so I'll go. So I go there, and I order sushi, which I never order, but I order the pinworm sushi to go with the meal. It comes after the meal, by the way. The whole reason to order the sushi is I'm an impulsive eater. I cannot wait for the dinner. I like to eat when I get there because I grew up in a place where there was always food on the table. If you invited people to my mother's house, there had to be appetizers out on the tables or you were considered like a cheapskate. I went to a wedding once out here. They don't know anything about service or weddings in the Bay Area, nothing. 2 hours till you got a canopy. I didn't understand this. It was an expensive wedding way up in the wine country. There was no food for 2 hours. I had to go out in my car and look for a Pizza Hut in Santa Rosa. Before they served the meal, I even went in the kitchen and pulled out a $20 bill. I said to the chef, can you give me anything, please? I'm hyperglycemic. I'm getting sick. The chef looked like he never heard of anyone like this. I said, I'm from New York. We eat before the dinner. What's wrong with you people? This is an expensive venue. They looked at me like I was crazy. I had to go out to a Pizza Hut to get a pizza before the dinner. But that's what they do in the Bay Area. Nobody serves anything. It's considered low class to have too much food. They starve you to death. That's considered classy in the Bay Area. Right. The less food they give you, they think it's a classy dinner. They don't know from nothing. No such thing as food out here anyway, by and large, except a few places I go to. And they only serve me separately anyway because they know I'll complain on the radio and kill their business, which I try not to do. So I don't go anywhere. Oh, but getting back, so I go to the Japanese restaurant because I'm famished. I order the meal. And I order the box meal. It's like $20. At least I don't have to think. It's such a complicated menu. I can't think of it. The this and the Raymond and the Schmanen and Raymond. Everyone loves Raymond. I didn't know what to, I can't stand it. So I said, just give me the box thing for $21.95. It comes with everything in it, with the salmon teriyaki, you know, farm-raised salmon that I know is poison, but that's the antibiotics. I take a probiotic, and I get the kimchi to go with it or whatever in another restaurant. And I order sushi because I figured it would come before it. And then I always have to say, wait, don't hold anything up. Bring whatever comes first. So the food comes, I eat my meal, then he gives me the sushi. Oh, he did ask me, and I said, I want the California roll. He's you want real crab or the fake crab? This is like a Buddy Hackett joke. I said, just give me the California roll. So he says to me, real crab or fake crab? I said, give me the real crab. I made a mistake because it's the reason I eat California rolls is I like the synthetic crab because it's got less toxins in it than the real crab. The real crab's poison. It's a bottom feeder. It like eats all of the refuse of the sea creatures in the mud. I hate crab. That makes me, I'm not from San Francisco. I wouldn't eat that poison. What do you think, I'm an animal? I don't eat crabs. They're poison. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Oh. Well, Mother's Day is coming up, and Shari's Berries is offering huge freshly dipped strawberries starting at only $19.99 plus shipping. And right now you can double the berries for just $10 more. You know I love these things. I mean, this is real. You pick your delivery date, and these berries are guaranteed to arrive fresh and delicious, or you get your money back. I've sent dozens and dozens of Shari's Berries to family and friends over the years. Nobody ever said anything but they love them. Now, you may think you've seen gourmet dipped strawberries before, but you've never seen anything like these. Shari's berries are huge, sweet, juicy, and covered in decadent toppings. Chocolate chips, chopped nuts, white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, anything you want. Shari's berries are an unexpected gift that'll put a smile on any mom's face. You know it and I know it. So surprise the mom in your life with Shari's berries at her office or workplace. The only way to get this amazing berries deal starting at just $19.99 is to go to berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right. Use my code SAVAGE. That's BERRIES.com. Use code SAVAGE when you click on the mic. This amazing deal won't last long, and Mother's Day is right around the corner. So please order now. Berries.com, code SAVAGE. 855-407-2282. Marty on WABC line 5. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Don't take it off tomorrow, I'll tell you.
You're on the air, Marty. Talk. Where is this guy? Okay. Thank you, Jim. Nice. 1 minute left, and I have to go into this. Okay, Corey on WABC line 9, go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, please, let's stop telling you how great I am. Please, there's no time left.
Okay, I just want to respond to the comment you made about why aren't the girls as pretty, why are the girls prettier today than they were when you were younger?
Well, I'm looking at my 7th grade class picture here. I mean, forget about it. I wouldn't have gone to the prom with any of them. Maybe they wouldn't have gone with me, but I never saw such a Mieschkeit in my life. They look like Stalin's daughters, all of them.
Well, my theory is because of the mixing of the cultures over time.
What? The mixing of the cultures made women prettier today?
I think so. I mean...
How does mixing a culture make women prettier?
I don't know. Some of the...
The thing is this, there's no change really, it's just that women look sluttier today. And as a result of looking sluttier, people think that they're better looking. I mean, look at the way the girls dressed in my 7th grade classroom. The dresses were down to their ankles. I'm looking at it. They all wore blouses up to their necks. Now they all dress like they just came out of a slut bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. You think I'm making this up? I'm not making it up. Then they're emaciated from living on vegan diets. They have no probiotics. They look like they're emaciated. It's a different look. If you like the ghostly, corpse-like look, you're in business today. If you like the Stalin housekeeper look, you're finished. You have to go to Uzbekistan. Can you imagine going to Uzbekistan for a wife? Pretty Russian women, right? They come along with their cousins. That's just, we should go on a website for that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Zucker.
Right. Another election, another flash in the pan, and another lie. No matter who we elect, we get the same thing. Trump got nothing, zero in the budget. Nothing. Now, you can blame Paul Lyon if you want. Oh, yeah, 40 miles of fencing is going to be repaired. I wonder which congresswoman's husband has the contract to fix the fence. Are you kidding me? All right, so there's more money for defense. So that's all they wanted. That's why McCain shut his mouth and Lindsey Graham. They got what they wanted. They're lobbyists for the military-industrial complex. We got nothing. We were screwed again. And I got to take great responsibility for this. Of all the people in the media who pushed you to go out and vote, all you Eddies, all you deplorables, I killed myself for over a year. I said, give it a try. Trump's war. I did my best. You had faith in me. But you got to understand, I wasn't lying to you. I actually believed we would get something for this deal. And I don't know how much longer I can get up here and say, well, it's better than her. Because I don't actually know what it would be if she had won, how much different it would be. Rhetorically, yes, there'd be a difference. She'd be pushing the same garbage day and night about race and about class and about lesbians and gays day and night. That's all you'd hear. You know, that's all you would have heard. I don't know, maybe that unto itself is worth that he won. We got nothing done. I hear we're going to have a tax decrease. When? No money for a border wall, no money for a deportation force, no cutting of money for sanctuary cities, money instead for Planned Parenthood. Is Kushner running the government? Is Kushner running the government? Think about this. Kushner, who has business dealings with George Soros, who lent them $250 million, are they really running? Are they the shadow government? Is it possible? Are they the shadow government? Is that why we're so upset, all of us, and dumbfounded by what was done? Now, related to this story, and this is a sickening story, by the way, CNN will not run Donald Trump's 100 Days ad. It's a commercial declaring the first 100 days a success. CNN refused to run the ad. They won't add the ad touting his accomplishments in his first 100 days. It's absolutely shameful to see the media blocking the positive message that President Trump is trying to share with the country, said Michael Glassner. Who's he now? The campaign's executive director. Where'd this one come from? Where'd Michael Glassner come from? Another one. Another New York liberal, no doubt. Fake news station refuses to run ad highlighting the president. How many times can we hear the words fake news? You know, it's like worn off already. It's like an antibiotic. It wore off. The magic is worn off. The charm is worn off with fake news. Lock her up. Build that wall. I mean, it's all worn off. So now let's hear the ad that CNN won't run. Let's hear what you think about it. Clip 17.
Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay, I'm coughing from that message. I started to cough from it. I don't know. What do you mean? Wait a minute. I really lost my voice. Let's deal with this. A Supreme Court confirmed justice. First of all, I'm going to make a prediction. Gorsuch is going to be another Roberts. Mark my words. They'll roll him. He's been rolled already. They've been brainwashing him inside. The witch, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the others, they're breathing their foul vampire breath on his brain. He is going to be another liberal faker. As sure as I... Watch. You watch and see if I'm wrong. That's A. America becoming more energy independent. No, not more energy independent. Instead of giving money to the gangsters in the green racket, the solar panel racketeers with building power plants in Tonopah, Instead of giving them the money, they're giving it to the oil and gas men. They're back in. It was always a battle between oil and gas versus the green mafia. That's all. Biggest tax cut plan in history. It's called a tax cut plan. You're telling me they're going to pass it? If Schumer, all Schumer has to do is belch up a knish, and they'll run away and say, we're not passing it. Let's see, what else have they done? I'm so anguished today. I've heard it over and over again, and I've gotten nothing. I mean, it's worse than antibiotics, what's going on right now. Would you buy a used wall from this man? I hear they're selling off the mortar and the bricks that they bought. Did they even buy the mortar and bricks? They have it stored somewhere in Laredo, Texas? I hear you can buy the mortar and bricks a penny on the dollar now. Oh, Trump campaign, you know, fake news, fake news, fake news. Dr. Dragon. Okay, what do you want to talk about? WWCO in Connecticut. Tony, line three, fire away on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to mention I felt the same way back when he bombed Syria. But over time, I started thinking that that was just to help Russia build more planes for Syria.
Duh? What? By destroying the few jets, that's a few of Syria's jets that helped Russia build more jets?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that part of the globalist beliefs, to have everybody involved, making money?
I'm not following you at all, Tony. I'm sorry. I don't see how blowing up Syrian jets helped Russia build jets.
Well, who builds the jets for Syria?
Why did you have to blow up a jet to have them build more jets?
That's what we did. We just blew off 56 bombs in Syria, and who's going to build those bombs at $1 million a clip?
Okay, that's a different story. In other words, this fed the military-industrial complex. By shooting the Tomahawk missiles, we got two things done. One, we got live fire testing of our naval ships and found out that they're fairly accurate. The people found out that they could do something other than birth messaging on the destroyers. They not actually press buttons and fire missiles. So that was a good test, a live fire test. B, we got to expend missiles which have to be rebuilt by Raytheon. So I'm sure Raytheon's stock went up. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And over in Russia, he's helping Putin. So...
Well, I don't know, we're helping Putin by destroying Syrian... Oh, you mean... But is there a military-industrial complex in Russia? I don't think so. He can just build what he wants over there.
Yeah, but he also...
I mean, that's besides the point. But it was a big lie that Assad gassed his own people. The main point was that was a big lie put out by the administration, and he turned it around in a 24-hour period. When that happened, that was the end of the Trump administration. Everything changed after that. Whoever lied to Trump about Assad and Russia gassing his own people, whoever got to him on that, the whole administration collapsed after that. That's my point.
Right. Mossad and CIA had a hand in that. There was no doubt in my mind. That was the first thing I tweeted as soon as it happened. I could not...
Assad did not gas his own people. He is winning the civil war. Why would he turn the whole world against him?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you. I got a migraine already. It's too much. It's too much information. No one cares. It's summertime and the living is easy. They got the barbecue pit ready now. They went out and they bought the pork sausage. They got the sausage. They got the steak. They got the burger. They got the soy burger for the daughter. The poor daughter that's on a vegan diet that can't think because she's not eating any meat. I look around. I see what people are eating. I know one of the people are going crazy. All they eat is salads. The human being needs fat. It needs protein. How can it live on a salad? Would you buy a used salad from this man? KSFO, Pat, line four, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I agree with you almost all the way, but I think you're a little off on pointing the finger at Trump for being the problem. We elected Trump, but we didn't get the change through the Republicans. Trump was...
I agree. It's very easy to say it's Paul Lyon Ryan who did it to him, but he is the president.
Well, we want to get a little... If he can get...
Why didn't Trump hold out? Why didn't he hold out and fight? Why didn't he shut the government down? Didn't he say he was going to drain the swamp?
You can do that. You can fill in the blank. You can get close to him.
No, please, let me finish my statement. Didn't Trump come across as a strong man and say that he would shut the government down if they continued to fill the swamp? Didn't he say he would drain the swamp? Well, did he drain the swamp?
He did. But the problem was that nobody came up to say we would back him. Somebody like you can back him, Mike. You can tell him that we will back him, not the Republican Party.
Listen to me. Let me tell you something. The Kushners, the Rappaports who are around him now, will not let him on this show. He goes on a serious XM podcast that has 400 listeners, and he will not come on this radio show. Now, you explain to me how he's going to get reelected. How is he going to get reelected if he won't come on the show that built him?
Hey, it's like this. If you can't get to him, there may not be an election anymore. Okay? You got to get to him.
My friends, I'm sorry to report to you that the Kushners, the Rappaports, the Shawns, whoever are around him, will not let him talk to the deplorables who elected him. He is not talking to you anymore. He is only talking to liberals and to centrists. They're doing to you exactly what Hillary did to you. They've dismissed you as garbage. The Rappaports and the Kushners have dismissed you as white trash. They don't need you anymore. Did you hear me? You want me to get really down and dirty with this? I'll get real down and dirty as the days goes on this week. I am so sick to my stomach, it's coming out of me like vomit. I can't take it anymore. When I woke up this morning and I read that Kushner is in business with Soros, and that Soros lent the son-in-law $250 million in a line of credit, I said, that explains everything. Soros is still the puppet master. How do you like that?
Don't get sick. We need you. We got to fight this together.
No, I'll take an Alka-Seltzer. Thanks for the call. Phone number is 855-472-8. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. La Dolce Vita, the sweet life, huh? Now, you could say, well, okay, we're better off than a Shi'ite one. We can say that, what, for the next 3.5 years? We're going to keep saying it, well, we got a Supreme Court justice. Wait and see. Wait till he's tested, then we'll know who he is. I fear he's going to be rolled. I think Gorsuch is going to be rolled, if he's not been rolled already, the way that Trump's been rolled on virtually everything, personally. WABC, Mike, Line 7, what's your opinion? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think... with this budget and some of the other decisions that I see him making, if Kushner and Schumer got to him, this is their policies, and he loses us and he loses you, I think he's basically writing his impeachment papers. They want him impeached. That's what they want to do, and he's giving it to them. He's basically, maybe he doesn't want to be president anymore. I don't know really what the reason is.
Well, what could they impeach him on? On what basis could he be impeached? He hasn't done anything that's impeachable.
No, nothing yet, but once he loses the power, they can just set something up or make it look like he did something wrong. And they'll just all, the rhinos and Schumer gang will just grab him and...
Oh, well, I've had a theory for a while that perhaps I should share right now, and I've expressed it to only a few people. The rhinos want Trump gone, and they want Pence in as president. They want Trump out of the way. And what frightens me or disturbs me very deeply is that it seems to me they're moving him out of the presidency without even trying.
Maybe he doesn't want to be president anymore. Do you know anything about that? Maybe he's given up?
How would I know what he wants and what he doesn't want? How would I know what he wants and doesn't want? I don't know.
Yeah.
I know this. If the president has advisors who all worked for the Bushes, who put him on unknown little podcast with 300 listeners on Sirius XM and refused to let him come on a radio show like the Savage Nation, which made him president, what more do you need to know than that? Tell me.
You're right. And you wrote him the book that would help him get through his presidency.
Right. And I just received in the mail just yesterday his personally autographed book cover, which I put up on my website. It should be on my website or on Facebook. If it's not up, it should be. I don't understand how he cannot see beyond what he's seeing. How can he himself not see what's going on?
Yeah, they got to him. Like you said, they got to him.
The day that he launched the missiles... into Syria when a day before he said we have no business in Syria, and the next day they launched missiles into Syria on the lie that Assad gassed his own people. That was the day that his whole administration, the wheels came off that that administration. Something's wrong. Somebody got to him.
Yes.
Somebody is whispering in his ear that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. But now that he's ignoring and attacking the deplorables, now we have a whole new situation. Mike, that's the truth. I'm going to send you a copy of Trump's Unwar. Stay on the line, line 7. Let's go to Martin on KSFO here in San Francisco. Martin, what's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, what's going on? My name's Martin. Hey, I just wanted to say real quick, my dad listened to you so much when I was a kid. You became a staple in my childhood.
All right, well, that's nice to hear. But where do you stand today on what's going on with Trump rolling over on the budget and all the other things that are disturbing all of us who voted for him?
Yeah, okay, so here's my theory. I believe that Trump has a bigger agenda and that he's trying to get the neocons and the liberals to get more on his side. And once he does that, then he's going to go back to the deplorables and release the original agenda.
Hmm. That would be nice to believe. Where do you come up with that idea? What makes you think that he's that Machiavellian?
Just the way that he ran his campaign, it was insane. Just it was amazing the way he ran his campaign, and he got.
So you think that by ignoring the people who elected him, he's actually engendering their support?
I don't think he's quite ignoring. I think he's delaying.
Well, it's an interesting theory. I hope you're right. Only time will tell if he ever comes out and speaks to you again. But something's wrong with the picture. When you have guys like Sean Spicer and his team, which are they're all RNC from top to bottom, they may as well be working for Jeb Bush. They're treating you the same way you would be treated if Jeb Bush had won, as you don't exist, you're deplorable. And by the way, the budget that was just passed is a Jeb Bush budget. Do you know that? There is virtually nothing in this budget that Jeb Bush would not have approved of. It would have been the same budget, which is nothing for conservatives, zero, a little bit for the military-industrial complex, and a gigantic piece of pork for the Democrats. Jeb Bush won.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So I'm on MichaelSavage.com. It says 25 arrested in Portland, May Day violence after protesters hurled bottles and Molotov cocktails at police. Good for them. They'll be out of jail tomorrow as heroes. Democrats upset over repeal of Michelle Obama's school lunch rules. That's absurd. She never followed those school lunch rules. Germany, migrant crime spiked in 2016. Tell that to Angela Merkel. International Socialist Day. Here's a list of 100 million communist murders in the past 100 years. And I refuse to take down the picture of the perpetrator who killed the 86-year-old Japanese-American woman after sexually assaulting her. I refuse to take it down because this is my way of fighting fake news. I refuse to let fake news roll me over. It was an invasion. Daily Caller says how Hungary managed to erase illegal immigration in just a few months. Report, H-1B employers might begin recruiting Americans after Trump order. Okay, whatever that means. Is Breitbart the voice of the Trump White House? I don't know what that means. In Australia, Muslim avoids jail for sex attacks on the beach owing to cultural differences. I see. Okay, they're allowed to rape in their country? Well, okay, let's keep reading the headlines. Michael Savage says, I'm a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? Speaking of a war with Russia, the president's supposed to speak to Vladimir Putin today, which is a good thing. Whatever happened to the big lie that the president ordered the launching of Tomahawk missiles into Syria? Remember 3 weeks ago? Claiming, absurdly claiming, that Assad would gas his own people and that Russia was in collusion with them. Whatever happened to that lie? Nothing. I'm glad to see we're not at war with Russia today. Maybe somebody awakened the president to the fact that it would have been suicidal for Assad to kill his enemies with gas when he was winning the civil war. Ah, there's a coup. There's no question there's been a coup. I was reading a report on radio. It reaches over 250 million listeners a week. Country was the top format. News talk was number two. Can you believe this? You know, I mean, oh, radio's old. Radio's dead. Yeah, right, sure. Because the drug-addicted, hair-losing millennials aren't listening to this format? Are you kidding me? Radio reaches over 90% of every demographic. Radio, radio, radio. It's still the number one way that people hear what's going on. News talk is the second most popular, country being the first. And you ask yourself, if radio is who elected Donald Trump, which it is, I know it for a fact, and he won't come on radio, instead he goes on a podcast with a blogger who has 400 listeners, can you tell me who is advising President Trump about the media? It's the people who ran the Bush campaign. The very same Bushies who hated Michael Savage, hated conservatives, hated the idea of borders, language, and culture, are now running this administration. There's nothing more I can say about it. What do you want me to say? Here is a great senator, Mike Lee, senator from Utah. Listen to what he has to say. He's one of the resistors to this insanity in clip 11.
What we've found is that money is being taken from U.S. taxpayers, and it's being funneled to various George Soros-affiliated leftist socialist causes around the world. Now, look, I don't know why it makes any sense at all to take money from taxpayers in Panguitch, Utah, or in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and sending it over to Europe to be used to fund some far-left cause sponsored by George Soros. That makes no sense to me.
Yes, it does. Jared Kushner didn't disclose business dealings with George Soros. Soros gave him a $250 million line of credit. Senator Lee, you ought to read some of the news out there, and you'll find the answer to all your questions, and also why there's been no investigation of the world's number one disruptor, George Soros, the man who gave $85 million to the police killing Black Lives Matter. Anything happened to Soros? Now you know why. Peter Hassan, Daily Caller, senior White House advisor Jared Kushner, didn't include his ownership in a real estate finance company that makes him business partners with George Soros when filing financial disclosures. The Wall Street Journal reported today. This is news, brand new news. Kushner also failed to disclose loans totaling $1 billion from more than 20 lenders, the Wall Street Journal reported. Soros provided Cadre, the company owned by Trump's senior advisor, with a $250 million line of credit. This confirms Business Insider's reporting in 2016 that an unnamed wealthy New York-based family opened up a $250 million line of credit to Cadre. Soros lives in New York. The Kushners, or the Kushner, who was married to Trump's daughter Ivanka, wasn't open about his business dealings with Soros. A left-wing billionaire who funds activists fiercely opposed to the president's agenda is unlikely to go over well with Trump's base. Kushner's ownership stake in real estate startup Cadre makes him business partners with Soros, Peter Thiel, and other billionaires, as well as Goldman Sachs. Now, none of this is illegal, you understand, nor is it immoral, but it may be fattening. It may be fattening because it's triggering such anxiety in this conservative base that their cortisol levels are going through the roof and they're eating junk food. So it may not be illegal or immoral, but it certainly is fattening. The new spending bill funds Planned Parenthood. No kidding. The new spending bill funds sanctuary cities. No kidding. The new spending bill funds refugee resettlement. No kidding. The new spending bill funds a Puerto Rican bailout. You hear this? The deadbeats in Puerto Rico? The deadbeats are going to get bailed out without any money, not a dime, for Trump's proposed border wall. There's not a single agenda item in there, I think, other than rebuilding the military, which is a good thing, that was promised during the campaign. I don't know what to say to you other than, what can I say to you? You can blame me if you want. You can make me the goat. I don't really care. But how much longer are we going to be able to put up with this? Is it one and done? Or is it less than one and done? I don't know. I don't really know. Are things really better under Trump? Or do we think they're better under Trump? Or can I still say, well, let's imagine what would have happened if she had won. Could things be worse under her? I think so. But then let's analyze that statement. How much worse could it be if she had won? If there was no border wall and no cutting of funding to sanctuary cities and increased funding for Planned Parenthood and new refugees coming in from God knows what hellhole on earth, tell me how much worse it could have been under Hillary. At least if she had won, we'd be unified against her. Right now, there's no unification whatsoever. Would you buy a used wall from this administration? Can we continue to blame rhinos or Paul Lyon for all of these things? So what is going on right now is not so hard to follow. It's all a charade. It's like if you've ever fished, even as a kid, and you look into a very calm pond where there's some fish in it, whether it be trout or catfish, as I used to fish for up in the Catskill Mountains. If you're a kid, you don't know about the refraction of light waves. That takes until you get to high school to know about that. So if you see a fish in shallow water and you reach into that water to grab the fish is not where your hand thinks the fish is. The fish is somewhere else. It's 2-3 inches somewhere else. That's owing to the refraction of light in the water. This is exactly what politics has become. Maybe it's always been this way. Trump says one thing, and Paul Ryan and the Republicans do another. Is that because they really oppose the president, and he really opposes them? Or is it because it's just a charade, that they're all just trying to screw us? More money for the NIH, more money for the NEA, NEH, and public broadcasting. It's hard to believe I'm looking at this. I told you when he was running for office that one of the first things I like to speak to the president about would be to save billions of dollars in the bloated NIH and CDC. Well, I just learned that the fiscal 17 spending bill provides a total of $34 billion for the medical gangsters at the NIH, which is $2 billion above fiscal year 2016. Above $2 billion more. And then the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We know that that's pure, unadulterated left-wing propaganda. A day and night, $445 million advance for 2019. National Endowment for the Arts and Humanities, NEA, NEH. $150 million for the NEA and $150 million for the NEH. $2 million above the fiscal year. It was the NEH, I believe, or the NEA that gave us the crucifix in a jar of urine a number of years ago. These are not artists, by and large. If the government funds you, you're not an artist. If you receive a government grant to do art, you're not an artist. You're a faker. You're nothing. You're just a guy who walks around Ludlow or Rivington Street and smokes dope at night and makes believe you're an artiste. Playing at La Boheme, living on your mother's inheritance. So if you receive any government money to do art, you're not an artist. You receive NEA, NEH money, you're not an artist. What you are is a propagandist working for the government. It's a well-known fact. Okay, so there's that. Now, maybe this is too much for a warm, you know, day, but the spending bill language omits border wall funding. Not a dime for the border wall. Not a dime for a sanctuary city crackdown. I'm asking you, how far can this go until everyone wakes up and says enough is enough? The $1 trillion spending package that the gangsters put together that will fund the criminal government through the end of September does not include a dime to stop sanctuary cities, not a dime for Trump's wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. So I'm asking you from the beginning. Not what you think about it, because I know what you think about it. But what can you say about it? Who's really running the country? I had an article that was linked up on the Drudge Report, which is always a big honor because the readership is so vast. And it was dealing with the thugs on our own. I said, Michael Savage newsletter from last week, we're still dealing with the thugs on our own. And I think the headline I wrote was something like, Mr. President, where is the law and order? And I was talking about the increasingly violent tactics used by the left, who fakingly call themselves anti-fascists to squelch free speech when they are the fascists. And it was an interesting little newsletter from MichaelSavage.com. And it was on Drudge. It got a lot of traffic. But then I look at the headline. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Mercers in IRS showdown for billions. It's too complicated a story for me to read it to you. But I recommend you read it yourself to see how deep big money and big hedge funds are involved, not only in the conservative side of the thing, but on the Democrat side. They fund both sides of the aisle in order to make certain that they can continue to do business. One hand within the hedge fund community funds conservatives. One hand funds liberals. And we, the people in the middle, think that we're actually being served by the news outlets. They're all the same. So if you say Fox is different than MSNBC, on the face of it, you'd be right. But actually, they're not different. It's two sides of the moon, a dark side and a light side, depending upon which side of the aisle you're on. But they're really the same exact thing. It's all shadows on the wall. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Disheartened by the fact that of all the campaign promises, the number one promise that Trump has to keep is building the wall on our southern border. That is the promise that started the entire Trump movement. And as important as jobs and trade is, his enormous crowds didn't chant fix our trade. They chanted build that wall. That was the rallying point for Trump supporters in every state. The people of Iowa may be different from the people of Texas in many ways, but they have one thing in common. They're all Americans. And without a border, there is no America. One campaign promise now just went up in smoke. This is all from Trump's war against the rhinos, by the way, in my book, Trump's War, which in some ways is more important now than it was a month ago, because this book contains the promises he made. So they can't hoodwink us. This is what he said. One other thing that I called for during the campaign was antitrust action against companies that have grown far too large and have avoided paying U.S. corporate tax rates by keeping money offshore. That would include Facebook. That would include Apple. That would include Google. Do you know that Apple has more cash than the U.K. and Canada combined? They're about to reveal their quarterly financial results, and they're revealing a reserve of cash of more than $250 billion. $250 billion, double from 4 years ago, likely has $246 billion total cash equivalents, and securities offshore. And keeping money offshore by Apple, Mr. Tim Cook, has allowed Apple to avoid the 35% U.S. corporate tax. Do you know that if Trump were to force them to repatriate their money and make them pay even 10% of the money they have evaded taxes on, he could balance the budget simply by going after four of these large companies? Apple has been able to avoid U.S. corporate taxes by keeping nearly 93% of its $246 billion total cash equivalents and securities offshore. Many corporate companies have followed this road. If Trump really wanted to balance the budget, he would definitely crack down with antitrust action against Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, and others, other major corporations, who keep a majority of their funds in other countries to avoid paying the 35% U.S. corporate income tax rate. Apple, Microsoft, Google, Cisco Systems, Hewlett-Packard, hold huge amounts of dollars offshore to avoid paying the 35% U.S. corporate income tax rate. Last week, Trump said he was going to cut taxes for U.S. businesses, and he was going to slash the corporate tax rate to 15%. Do you actually think that's going to pass, or will he roll over again? Do you think that he's going to roll over to Apple, Microsoft, Google, Cisco, and Hewlett-Packard, and others? or do you think he's going to pass tax reform and make them pay any bit of their fair share? And I'm not Bernie Sanders. I'm Michael Savage. I helped elect this president, and I demand more.
Savage.